Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Monday to you, and happy President's Day, and of course, we celebrate on this program the great presidents, Ronald Wilson Reagan, Donald J. Trump. We'll throw in Washington and Lincoln, too. John Adams. Topping my list, by the way, of great presidents, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. By the way, a new survey is coming out, and everybody's going bonkers over this. And that's, you know how these leftists are, these libtards. They come up with these lists, and the latest from the Los Angeles Times, a failed drive-by media publication. The latest there is that the worst president of all time is Donald Trump. Are anybody surprised by this? No, I'm certainly not surprised by it. Anyway, happy President's Day to you. Who is your greatest president? Who tops your list? Oh, by the way, this L.A. Times list, they've got Barack Hussein Obama in the top 10, followed by Bill Clinton. So you kind of know where all of that is going. So anyway, over the weekend, late Friday, after our show had concluded, this judge out of New York City, Judge Engoron, this guy's a card-carrying member of the ACLU. He's a smarmy S-O-U-L, you know. Family friendly, Starnes. Keep it family friendly. But he's a sorry so-and-so, this guy, and declared that Donald Trump and his sons, Don Jr., Eric, owe $360-some-odd million in fines for a victimless crime. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the case that Trump was found guilty, and this is a civil fraud trial, and the allegation is that Trump inflated the prices of his properties, when in fact that is a common practice in the real estate industry. And by the way, a lot of people are very concerned now in New York City because they could become targets of these kinds of these kinds of cases. But the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, came out over the weekend and. And I mean, this is a big deal, and this is the only reason why the governor came out to say what she said. But Kathy Hochul came out over the weekend, and she said, no, don't worry. There's no, because people are literally so concerned at we're talking about top executives here, and especially in the real estate industry. They're so alarmed by this because it's never happened before. I mean, this is a standard practice in the real estate, in the construction business. And they do it all the time. And so now all of a sudden, people are stepping back and they're saying, well, wait a second. If they're going to come after Donald Trump, well, they could possibly come after me. So people are already talking about packing up and moving out of New York City. So much so that Kathy Hochul came out and said, no, don't worry about a thing. No. We're not coming after anybody else. This was a unique case. What she was saying is, yeah, this was a political case where, you know, we know it's not a big deal, but, you know, technically it's a technicality. And, you know, we had to get Trump. And Letitia James, Letitia James, the Attorney General, actually campaigned on this.
We're going to get Trump. I's going to get him. He mine.
That's Letitia, pardon me, Letitia James, the Attorney General. And she got him. So now Trump, just imagine the craziness of this ruling. Trump and his sons are not even allowed to run their own company for 3 years. So, look, this is going to get appealed. And, everybody knows it's going to get appealed. Judge Engoron knows it's going to get appealed. Everybody knows it. And he's going to lose. By the way, Engoron is going to have this verdict overturned. Because everybody knows it's a load of grade A hooey. This is the guy that said Mar-a-Lago is only worth, $10, $14 million. These people are not decent people. They're very bad, very evil people. So, over the weekend, some truck drivers across America decided that enough is enough. And these truck drivers have decided, and again, this is a grassroots effort. It's not like there's some sort of a building, a headquarters. These are just truckers, just red-blooded, flag-waving American patriot truckers. And they're out there and they're saying, we are going to boycott New York City. That's it. We are done. We are tired of these blue states persecuting and prosecuting Donald Trump. And hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen. This is a persecution of Donald Trump. Do you understand what's going on here? They are so terrified of this man. And it's not just this man they're terrified. They're terrified of you, the great listeners of this radio show, because you have power. You have power that you may not even realize you have. But they are scared of you because you are men and women of principle. I'll give you a great example. I told you about this bookstore that used to be my favorite bookstore in all of America called Novel Memphis. And we reached out to them. We've sold a lot of books for these people, a lot of books. And we wanted to do this. This would have been our very first book signing in Memphis after moving back home. And I wanted to honor Novel Memphis by helping them sell a lot of books. I mean, a lot of books. We are getting ready to host our big launch party here in Memphis. And we're expecting about, 250, 300 people to come out. So you can extrapolate. Times two, that's a lot of books. And that's for some bookstores, that is a massive thing that can help carry them through some lean times. We wanted to do something nice. And I wanted to introduce all of my friends, all of my conservative friends and listeners to the bookstore. They have a great little restaurant there, a cafe. And they said, we will not host a book signing for a conservative. Now, I went back and sure enough, they haven't, and they don't. Every left winger on the planet goes there and does a book signing. And by the way, only a lot of them don't even have maybe five or six people show up. It's really sad. So anyway, that's. And we were trying to negotiate with them and talk with them. We're like, well, wait, what did we do wrong? Well, you just don't sell books. Well, we knew that was not true, and we have the official data, the book scan data, to back all of that up. But ultimately, it turned out that they don't like my politics. I spend thousands of dollars. They like my green. They like the money I spend. But finally, I had to say, you know what? I'm going to have to ban you. I'm no longer going. I'm officially boycotting Novel Memphis. And I would encourage, and look, and the sad thing is this far leftist bookstore is intolerant. This is the kind of bookstore, Novel Memphis, that they'd have been around in the 1960s. They would have not allowed black people into their bookstore because they're intolerant like that. And that's unfortunate. So again, sometimes when push comes to shove, you just have to say, that's it, we're doing a boycott. And I'm doing that with this leftist bookstore, and they hate conservatives. And now that I know that, fine, I can boycott that bookstore. And the same thing goes for New York City. These truck drivers are out there, and they're saying, well, You know what? Fine. If they're going to persecute Donald John Trump, and by the way, kudos to Ben Dieter, our morning show host on KWAM, our flagship station in Memphis. But Dieter got it right. He says, Todd, they're not Novel Memphis is not boycotting you. Novel Memphis has a problem with the fact that Donald Trump endorsed your book. And that's true. That's a great point. So these truck drivers are standing up and they're saying, fine, fine. You want to play that game? Well, guess what, New York City? Two can play at that game. Good luck. Good luck getting what is it? Good luck getting your rutabagas and your bagels, because we are done. No more deliveries for you. When you go down to your health store and your juice bar and you try to get those liquefied lawn clippings, you better bring your own grass, because there's not going to be any there. No more deliveries. That's it. So these truck drivers, and this is brilliant stuff. So these truck drivers are saying, we're not delivering. And by the way, there's no coordinated thing here. It's all grassroots. But they are now refusing any deliveries, any loads into or out of the Big Apple. And I'm telling you, folks, very soon, the shelves are going to start going bare. They're not even going to be able to have gasoline. I mean, if this goes the way I think it's going to go. But I think this is a brilliant strategy. These blue states are going to persecute President Trump for being a great American patriot. Fine. Screw you. We will take matters into our own hands. Cut number 11.
All right. I just received a call from a company that I was getting a load from, and they just said they don't have any loads going to New York. So if you're in New York, you won't be receiving anything from these drivers. I don't know if it's real, but I know that the companies are now saying that they're not delivering loads. Not just the truckers, it's the companies also. Get yourself prepared, New York. It may hit the fan in the next couple of days.
Oh, the poop is hitting the fan. I'm telling you, folks. This is a great thing. We have so many truckers that are now hopping on social media announcing that they have joined this ban. And here's what we can do about it. As much as you may love the Big Apple and you may want to take your family on a vacation, well, first of all, it's too dangerous. It's dangerous. By the way, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on, but these illegals that are coming across the border, the young men of military age, many of them are members of these violent gangs, these South American gangs. And we are already starting to see an uptick in heinous violence across this country. And it is all tied right back to what's been coming across that border. So all I'm telling you is, just first of all, it is not safe in New York City right now. It's just not. Even in the tourist, and especially in the tourist areas. That being said, why can't we join the boycott? Why can't we, as American citizens, join the trucker boycott of New York City? Why can't we say, you know what, that's it. We're not going there anymore. We're not going to go to the Broadway shows. We're not going to go eat at, I don't know, Junior's Deli. Todd Starnes is swearing off New York cheesecake and bagels. No more New York bagels, no more cheesecakes, nothing. What, Dylan? No, Dylan. Even the pastrami? No, come on, Dylan. Oh, all right, fine. Even no more pastrami. I am swearing off pastrami and the delicious brisket from the Jewish delis, because we have a country to save, ladies and gentlemen, and we cannot save that country if we are still stuffing our faces with pastrami on rye. We've got a boycott. I love this. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here. What do you think about these truckers who are saying, we're done, we're through, no more deliveries to New York City? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. Pastrami or give me death. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us. So these MAGA truckers, and we're talking maybe hundreds, could be thousands. We don't know, because, again, it's a grassroots effort. So we would love to hear from you. You think this is a good idea to deny New Yorkers their pastrami and their bagels? And the way I see it, if President Trump has to suffer great injustices, so should the people of New York City. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Bill in Georgia, starting off our day. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, I've been telling my son and I own a small trucking company. Now, we're private owner-operators, so the corporate ones, obviously, tougher to do this with because they have their marching orders. A lot of them are woke, so they're going to deliver regardless. But we've talked about is we used to live in upstate New York. I used to work downtown Manhattan. And, you know, you come to conclusion that the city cannot sustain itself. It needs power from the suburbs. It needs its reservoirs, right? All New York State is all reservoirs. All the goods and services, for the most part, it used to produce it, right? Years ago, you know, all those areas used to produce their own products. But now they're just yuppies living there. So, really, if we were to cut them off, they would implode on themselves because they couldn't even get their garbage out of New York City to up to New York State where they truck it to. So, you know, like I said, power, reservoirs, everything is required for these cities. And if we wanted to boycott all these cities, I believe we could. If we're owner operators and we have enough resources, you know, we're a debt free trucking company, so we could afford to pick and choose our loads. So that's a plus for us.
Bill, I love this, and I hope it works, and I'm not sure how long the boycott's going to go on, but again, it's a way to send a message that, you know what, fine, you're going to go after Trump, okay, no more groceries for you.
Amen, brother.
All right, Bill, appreciate that call. Thanks for the intel there. Let's go to Greg in Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, Greg, what say you? Hello, Greg.
Hello?
All right, you're on the air, Greg. What say you, real quick?
Okay, well, you know, since they vote for, they're Democrats and they vote for the green agenda all the time, so they don't need gas. Can't they ride their bicycles? They can go out there and eat their strawberries off the porch. You know, they don't need toilet paper. They can use leaves.
Well, they just, know? Yeah, they, I mean, there are a few trees that grow in Brooklyn, but I don't think there are that many, Greg. last long.
I don't think they realize it doesn't take 100 trucks to screw things up. All it takes is a handful. If a store is counting on this truck driver,
that's
all it takes is one truck, and it'll mess up a whole lot of people. Greg, I promise you.
Greg, you're not kidding, and I'm not sure that the libs understand, because the libs right now are mocking the truck drivers, saying, oh, well, we'll just get the illegals. Okay, well, that's all well and good, but they've got to pass the clearance, security clearances. They don't speak English. They got to know how to speak some English. Yeah, that's not going to work. So I think the libs are about to find out a very tough lesson.
There's no company out there going to put them in a $100,000 rig without knowing that they can drive.
Greg, you're 1,000% accurate there. We got to run. I'm super late for a break here, but you're absolutely right. All right, folks, going to break. Lines now open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Do you like this idea? Let's just boycott the blue cities. Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, New York City. I'm good with that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Such an honor that you have chosen to hang out with us. Some housekeeping. I will be out for the remainder of the week heading to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. And we're going to be doing a lot of pre-interviews for my new book, which will be in bookstores. We're exactly 1 month away today. So 1 month away, and March 19th, the new book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And it's going to be, and the answer to that is yes, by the way, but I show you how in this book, and it was such a fun book to write, and I think you are really going to be encouraged, entertained, and dare I say there are some belly laughs. My favorite story in the book, I do a parody chapter of The Rapture, as it is being covered live on CNN, because there's no one left in the newsrooms at Newsmax or Fox. And there's a little bit of a nuance in that chapter. You're going to love it, though. All that to say that, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of all of the chaos that is out there in the culture right now, I have hope in America, and I have hope because of you. The great listeners of this radio program, you folks inspire me every single day. And I know it can get a little, I know it gets a little squirrely sometimes, but it's going to be okay. And it has to be okay, because this is it, right? Where are we going to go from America? So that's why we do this every single day on the radio. We are this conservative blowtorch. And I'm telling you that conservative talk radio is under the gun right now. But the good news here is that I own my own radio station. So as long as I own this radio station, we will continue to broadcast truth across this great nation of ours. And that's going to be important because of the news coming out last week that George Soros has just purchased Audacy, which is one of the nation's largest radio conglomerates. And that means a lot of talk radio hosts are about to get marching orders from George Soros. And that is a very dangerous proposition. Good news is I'm not one of them, because we set our own path here, folks, and that's what we do. So I can promise you this, there will be at least one radio station in America that is still a defender of the gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving patriots of this great country. I can promise you that. All right, let's go back to the phones here. North Carolina, Jim, listening to us on the great WSIC. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ted. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I just want to say, in the famous words of Marie Antoinette, let him eat cake. Two can play this game.
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you. Jim, do you think it's wrong? Because, I'll be getting messages from the sweet church ladies, and they're like, Todd, you just have to be a forgiving heart. You have to have a forgiving heart, Todd. That's what Jesus would have done. But even Jesus went in and turned the tables upside down in the temple, Jim.
Right, I know that. So, but like I say, two can play this game. You know, we got to get nasty and dirty just like conservatives do, or the liberals do. You know, conservatives are supposed to bend over and drop their drawers. You know, that happens all the time. And as far as George Soros is concerned, Hungary doesn't even allow him back into the country.
He's a bad man, Jim.
He is.
A very, very bad man.
Very bad. You know, and we've got a lot of snipers that are out of work. So that's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about. We don't condone any violence on this program. And I will say this, and Jim, appreciate the call. We are a peaceful people, period. That doesn't mean we can't boycott, though. And I love this idea. I love the idea of just sticking it right back to the libtards. That's what we got to do here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And I'm hearing something. I don't know. What is that? I'm hearing something in the building right now. So, or in the studio. We'll find out what that's all about here momentarily. All right. Again, 901-260-5926 is our number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. We got all that squirreled away and worked out. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're doing great today on this President's Day. I will say this, and the greatest presidents of our time, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump, period. That's it. You know, a lot of these Democrats love FDR. Look what FDR did. FDR set the stage for the communist growth in America. And Lyndon Johnson, by the way, old Lyndon Johnson, everybody on the left loves LBJ. But LBJ just solidified and really helped root and water the birth of communism in this country. And an entire just generation after generation and generation of people that are literally relying upon the government for everything. We, over the weekend here in Memphis, we had these road takeovers. I don't know if you've seen these things. They happen in some of the larger cities out there. And we had hundreds of cars. And they have the young thugs out there and the thuglings and the thuggettes, all of them. And they're doing street races. They're doing donuts. And it's pretty terrifying. If you're caught up in one of these, it can be a pretty terrifying thing and very dangerous as well. And we were talking about this on KWAM. And they have a great website group called Stop Memphis Crime. You got to check it out. And anyway, people are really frightened. Some people said they called 911, but the police said they were overwhelmed. There was nothing they could really do. And if that's the case, then bring in the National Guard. And if the National Guard's not enough, you know, someone made the interesting observation, Memphis is no longer just like a third world. They would say Memphis is the Detroit of the South. No, Memphis is like Mogadishu. It's unbelievable, the level of violence here. It's just insane. And we have a mayor who's completely clueless. So you have these people out there now, and the argument is, well, we just got to give them young people something to do. The reason why they out there carjacking you, and the reason they out there doing the sliding on the interstate is because they got nothing to do. Really? Have you ever heard of something called a library? Public library? Taxpayer funded, by the way. Yeah, but them children don't want to read. No, we gotta have community centers, state of the art community. These are what the activists are saying. We gotta have the community. All right, we're building multi-million dollar community centers all across Memphis, Tennessee. Tens of millions of dollars, state of the art. Had a rap artist come in and actually built this beautiful state of the art basketball court. You know what they did? They burned down the basketball court. They did. Just over the weekend, there's a City Gear, and they've been threatening to remove all of their stores from the Memphis area, and I don't know what's stopping them. Over the weekend, you had a couple of these young scholars walk in there, and they are literally walking out with thousands of dollars in shoes and apparel. An interesting observation, because they're saying they're poor. It's just poor. It's poverty. They live in poverty. And they're just doing this because they have to eat. Okay, well, unless they're going to, I don't know, put soup in the shoe. Explain to me how that works. So I just made an interesting observation, and I caused a bit of a kerfuffle among the ruling class. I pointed out that if, in fact, this is about poverty, right, and about getting ahead, how is it that they're never stealing work boots? Right? They're never stealing something that they could actually use out on a job site somewhere. How is that possible? I'm just throwing that out there. But by the way, this has nothing to do with race. They're trying to make it about race. And I point to the mayor of Kansas City, and the mayor of Kansas City is very upset because now the governor has been calling the people who shot up the Super Bowl celebration thugs, right? I'm not making this up. So the governor of Missouri said, hey, these people are nothing more than thugs. And he says, we're not going to let a bunch of thugs, you know, dictate how we live. Now, this is interesting because the word thug has no racial connotation. Somebody just woke up one day. We don't make thug. Thug is a racist word. Now, you can't call people thugs. Okay, well, who makes that decision? I would love to meet whatever office makes the decision that words somehow become racist. But anyway, somebody decided that the word thug is now racist. I don't believe it is. When you look at the definition, it is not a racist word. But now the mayor of Kansas City is coming out, and he's just enraged over this. How dare you, I say, how dare you call these fine, upstanding homies thugs? And I'm sitting here going, wait a second. First of all, and the mayor is saying this is all about race, right? So first of all, how does he even know that those individuals happen to be black? How does he know skin color? Because they haven't released any information. None whatsoever. And they're not. And you know why? Because the shooters were non-white. I'll give you that much. So the mayor is out there, and he's saying, we've got to stop calling these people thugs. Well, he is only partially right. They're actually murderous thugs. But a thug is a thug, Mr. Mayor. I've got to read these quotes to you. The mayor said, I have respect for the governor. We get along well. I disagree strongly with how he would describe the situation. I certainly do think this was criminal activity. It was lawlessness, and I think that's troubling. But thugs is a dog whistle in the most classic sense. Really? Really. Is that true? Is the word thug a dog whistle? The mayor goes on, I've seen this dog whistle time and time again. There's this kind of giant conservative theory on social media now that the reason these mugshots have not been shown is because the purported defendants are black. And if it were a white defendant, we would have just shown them. That is absolutely preposterous. Really, Mr. Mayor? So where are the mugshots? And by the way, on this radio program, we've never said anything about the skin color of the gunmen, only to say they were not white people. Because if they were, in fact, white, if they were of the Caucasian persuasion, we would know their names. We would know everything about them. Their faces would be plastered everywhere. There would be people marching in the streets. But you know what's very interesting here, folks? Have you noticed something about the Kansas City shooting? It's completely disappeared from the national media. Just like the shooting at Lakewood Church, completely disappeared after, but it only, look, it was wall-to-wall coverage. They're literally, the networks are literally sending their anchors in limousines to the airport so they can board private jets so they can broadcast breathlessly from Kansas City and from Houston. But as soon as they got there, they got word that the shooter in Houston was transgender, and then the shooters in Kansas City were non-white. And so they said, uh-oh, return to base. Nothing to see here, folks. Got to just move on along. And that's what's happened here. Even CNN, the most profane name, even the people over at CNN are just sort of bewildered by the lack of information coming from police in Kansas City. I mean, we are days past it, and we know nothing about the shooters, nothing about the motive, nothing at all. I know that Ann Coulter was on Bill Maher's show, and Ann Coulter was weighing in on all of this, and she actually predicted it. She must be listening to the show, because we were talking about this last week. Cut one.
I mean, we don't know who did this shooting, by the way, the Super Bowl shooting.
We have some idea.
What?
If it were a white man shooting, we'd know.
Well, we don't know. But
how we know it's not a white man. I can tell you that much.
But you think they're repressing that reporting?
They wouldn't tell us about the transgender woman that shot up the Christian school for what, like a year? San Bernardino out here. Remember the crazy terrorist Muslims? That's when I first noticed. They're not telling us who it is. It's not a white male. The longer they go without telling you, it's not a white male.
Okay, well, for right now, as of Friday night, February 16th,
we don't
officially know. Okay, you know, you have special powers.
They can laugh all they want to, but it's true. It's true. TMZ, by the way, now reporting that the gunmen are, in fact, young scholars, as they say. Let's go to James, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on Candace Owens. James, I'm not familiar with the Chicago statement. What is Candace Owens saying?
Well, Laura Ingraham had her on her show along with Leo Terrell. I don't know if you know him.
I know Leo, yeah.
Both black, but he really went off, and I didn't like what he did, because Candace Owens is exactly right when she said, the Democratic Party do not want black folks to succeed. I said the same daggum thing, because all you have to look at the condition of black people supporting the Democratic Party. So if somebody wants you to succeed and you can't, he didn't like conversations like children can't read. Little black boys can't even complete a sentence. Little girls running around here shaking their behind, and the mother looking at the grandmama clapping their hand like that's such a big deal. Our people are in trouble, and we want to talk about this bull crap. And Leo Terrell trying to act like that Candace Owens just making something up. The Democratic Party ain't about nothing. I got the Democratic Party in my people, then I got Republicans, then I got people in my family that ain't for none of them. And I'm for none of them. I'm the kind of black guy, even when we was teenagers, we would say, why would black, when those four guys, they went to college, that's the difference. College people and street people, I know about all of them because I'm a part of both of them. They can't go to devil because the people that went to college, they in la la land. They don't even know the truth of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, just like the Communist Party, it's only the upper crust that gets over.
Yeah, well, James, I hear you, and we're coming up on a hard break here. I will say this, my friend. I'm afraid you are right that the Democrat Party does not want the black man in America to succeed. And all you have to do is look at the proof, and there's a lot of it. Look at look at how they have treated minorities in places like Chicago and Detroit and New York City and Memphis. The idea that children are coming out of the school system and they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math, it's all part of a plot, ladies and gentlemen. And here it goes. They want you dependent on the government for everything. Hey, got to take a break. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. This here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive. Looks like we got us a convoy.
Was it dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
'Cause we got little
a beautiful sight, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a boycott convoy underway at this hour. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, hour two of the big show. And as we mentioned in the first hour, we have an honest-to-goodness boycott, a trucker boycott of New York City underway. These truckers, MAGA truckers, and they're saying they're sick and tired of the attacks, the persecution of Donald John Trump. They are sick and tired of all of the injustices. And if that means that the good people of New York City will be denied their pastrami, their bagels and cheesecake, so be it. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are honored to have Lynn Patton, who is a senior advisor for our great president. Lynn, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And Lynn, it's got to it has to feel good as a campaign to see these grassroots protests popping up around the country. And I think the average American, they say, we get it, we understand, and we're just not going to tolerate it anymore.
They do. And, you know, Trump is extremely humbled and honored by their support. You know, it's just amazing that Americans across this country are waking up to what they see as a two-tiered system of justice. And, you know, if they can't beat him with their agenda, which they know they can't, Democrats, then they're going to try to beat him with lawfare. And, you know, the irony, of course, is that Democrats and Joe Biden are the real threat to democracy by weaponizing the government, weaponizing state and local district attorneys, attorneys generals, to go after not just the leading GOP candidate, but the leading presidential candidate in this entire race. And that, to me, and to the president of the United States, is election interference, any way you spell it.
Lynn, I've got to ask you, did you get any of the shoes? Did you get a pair of the Trump sneakers?
So I did not get a pair of the gold high tops. In fact, Laura Trump called me up because, you know, she's a big sort of sneaker collector. I don't know if you know that, but that's a little secret. And even she didn't get a pair. They only made 1,000. They were sold to everyday Americans who picked up the phone went on the website and made that purchase faster than anybody else. So it was actually a free and fair sort of election, if you can say that. And so, no, I didn't get, but I did get and go online and purchase a pair of the red ones. I don't know if you've seen, but if you go to gettrumpsneakers.com, there's still other versions left, other Trump sneakers that you can buy. And these are significantly cheaper.
It's a fine looking shoe. And I saw rumblings on social media. There was a special edition for some of the people who might be short of stature. We're not going to mention any names here, but I am curious.
You almost got me in trouble. I was going to say something, but
no. I don't want to get you. No, this is your first time on the show, Lynn. No, that's. I do want to go back to Sneaker Con, though, because I thought that was a fascinating. That was a non-political event, and yet the reaction from that crowd, chanting USA, USA, and the excitement, enthusiasm. What are we supposed to take out of that?
And you know what I want to say, Todd? You know, for those listeners that don't know me, I've been with this president for 16 years. I was on the first campaign. The second campaign I was not on because I was actually in the administration and couldn't participate in that. But one thing that I've seen, and we're all kind of new to politics, you know, by us, I mean the Trump family and those who worked for him before politics. We were all kind of new to politics, and by golly, we've been drinking by a fire hose for the last 8 years. However, I have yet to see any other political candidate, Democrat or Republican, when they who walks out on stage and instead of the crowd cheering their name, they cheer USA. I have never seen that happen with another political candidate. And to me, that speaks volumes because they know that Trump's the only candidate who's genuinely there for them, not for himself, not for the party. He's there to save this country. And that's why when people see him, they just instinctively start chanting USA. And that's something I've said before, and I'll keep saying it until the cows come home and he's back in office. Because, again, nobody else would have sacrificed their lives, given up so much of their personal financial wealth, been willing to obviously be the sacrificial lamb when it comes to all these indictments and legal cases that no other prosecutor would have taken on had it been any other candidate or any other person or any other civilian. They are doing this because they know that he has nothing to gain from this other than helping the American people. And I think that that's why he's as popular as he is and will be the next president of the United States.
And I think the American people, Lynn, I think they get it. And they understand that these are not just attacks on Donald Trump. These are attacks on all of us. And
that's
he's
right.
And he's standing up there and he's taking these hits for us. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to run again for the White House. But
definitely not.
But Lynn, I think he's the only person who can get us out of this very dangerous spot we're in.
No, exactly. And, you know, we're heading to South Carolina tomorrow. I'll be there all week with him. He'll be going back and forth. He's got to swing through Nashville on Thursday. And then I think he's going to be at CPAC on Saturday. But, you know, South Carolina is Trump country. And Trump won Iowa with the largest margin in history, won New Hampshire with more votes than any other candidate. He swept Nevada's delegates and humiliated Nikki Haley by beating her without even being on the ballot. And, you know, now we're just days away from another historic victory in South Carolina, her own backyard, where Democrats are voting for and donating to Nikki Haley more than her own party. He's got almost every single endorsement of every single South Carolinian elected official. And that's got to be humiliating. And the reason is simple. It's that Americans know that they were better with Trump. We were richer with Trump. We were safer with Trump. We were stronger with Trump. And, you know, quite frankly, that is our uniform message. And, you know, that old adage, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. I think there are a lot of Americans, black, white, brown, green, who are recognizing that, who might not have liked my boss, you know, 3 years ago or even 8 years ago. But they sure like him now because they know that there were zero wars, gas was less than $2, and they could afford to put food on their table. And at the end of the day, that's the things that people care about.
You know, you're 1,000% right. Clinton got it right back in the day when he said, "Is the economy stupid?" And it really is. It's the economy. What are you going
to
do?
It really is. So they can keep trying to arrest him and indict him and attack him and convict him. But at the end of the day, I think that's just making the American people want to go out and show up and vote for him even more.
I think you're absolutely right. Lynn Patton, everybody, senior advisor to President Trump. I can't get over the guy's stamina, Lynn. A couple of, what was it, last year, he invited me down to Mar-a-Lago. I sat for a 90-minute interview for the new book that's coming out in March. And it was just, I was just stunned at how this guy multitasks on a level that is not human. It's unbelievable.
By the way, you and me both. I mean, I'm, you know, pretty old. I'm getting up there, but I'm still significantly younger than him, maybe 20, 25 years. But at the end of the day, he runs circles around all of us, even his 22-year-old staffers running circles. I mean, you know, half of us have coffee in our IVs just to keep up with him and operating on a little to no zero sleep too. I think he gets 3-4 hours at the most. Other than that, he's surfing the internet. He's reading articles, reading newspapers. He still reads old fashioned newspapers, you know, print, not always online. And that's the way he likes to get his news. So, you know, it's always something, always learning, talking, meeting people. always trying to fight and make sure that he's doing everything humanly possible, and so are we, to get this man back in office.
So President Trump is going to be in Nashville this week speaking to the National Religious Broadcasters, their big convention.
Right.
That's an event, Lynn, that first of all, Joe Biden did not even have the decency or the courtesy to even respond to the invitation. But what I found really shameful is that Nikki Haley literally turned them down. Why would you turn down an invitation to speak to literally the base of the Republican Party? It makes no sense to me.
Well, like, Jason Miller, another senior advisor, said that the transformation of Nikki Haley into full-blown Never Trumper is complete, and it's really just humiliating at this point. She is getting absolutely clobbered. She's losing to Joe Biden. Even she's grasping at straws desperately. I really can't make heads or tails of her decision making, because quite frankly, she's the only one that doesn't realize the primary is over. So it doesn't surprise me that she's not going to engage in events that should genuinely benefit her and benefit the people they serve. But that just goes to show that at the end of the day, she's doing this not for the voter and her constituents, but she's doing it for her own ego, and she's doing it for her big, fat, pocketed Democrat donors like Reid Hoffman, who are funding her campaign still to this day. They're the ones that she's the one that they want in office, because they know that she's just another establishment puppet that they can control.
Lynn, we got to leave it there. No, you're heading over to South Carolina. I want to recommend, there's a great little joint. It's called The Beacon in Spartanburg.
Oh.
You got to get the chili. Okay. Got to get the chili cheese aplenty. It's a cheeseburger with chili. You're going to love it.
So, aplenty. I love it.
Chili
okay.
cheese aplenty.
Spartanburg. Perfect. Yeah.
And
you're the best.
Put your cardiologist on speed dial. You may need that after that. All right.
Oh, I will.
Lynn.
Thanks so much.
All right. Have fun out there on the campaign trail. Lynn Patton, everybody, President Trump's senior advisor. And look, there's a lot happening. And I'm telling you that the more they come after this man, the more popular he becomes out on that campaign trail. It is the most remarkable thing. But ultimately, it goes back to the central truth, is that the deep state hates us. They hate us. And it's a lot easier to go after the man who represents all of us than each of us individually. At the same time, when Trump is gone, who will be there to protect us, right? Which is why we have to stand up and we have to fight. That's what this is all about. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. Going to the phones as soon as we get back, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, we talk a lot about Patriot Mobile on this program, and I love these guys. They are huge supporters of our program. They are sponsors, and they are America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. One of the best cell phone companies in the country. And I love Patriot Mobile for this reason. They support the values that we defend every day on this program. I'm talking about free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life. And they have a great, great cell phone service. And I want to encourage you to go check it out. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a call. Write the number down, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation today with the offer code Todd. All you have to do is make the switch. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. If you are a veteran or a first responder, Patriot Mobile is going to hook you up with even greater discounts. Be sure to use that offer code Todd, and you're going to get free activation. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. And I want to say hello to all of the folks that are watching us on our Rumble live stream. So howdy do to all of you. Swamper Stomper says, freeze those semi loads into New York City. Truck you. I love it. Said a few other things we can't repeat on the radio. Roxanne says, truckers hate New York City anyway. Always have. And In the Biz says, hey, Todd Starnes, stand with the truckers boycotting NYC. Go ahead, head over to our live chat, and we're going to be hanging out with you. Just might be able to read some of your comments live on the radio. Let's go to William in North Carolina, WSIC, wants to weigh in on his favorite president. Hi, William. What say you?
Happy President's Day to you, Todd, and to all of us Americans out here. Happy President's Day. Ronald Reagan was my favorite. I voted for him. And if he were still alive today and were running for office, I'd vote for him again. Just like I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, because I think those two men have something in common, and they're not yes men. Ronald Reagan wasn't. Donald Trump isn't. And I think that's a big problem that we have in Washington, D.C. right now. We've got a lot of yes women and men up there, and we need to thin them out.
You know, it's interesting, William, the comparisons between the two men, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. And when you look at the path and their career trajectories to becoming president, I mean, it really is very similar. Ronald Reagan was president of the union in Hollywood, the Actors Union. And that was when the Red Scare was happening all across America, but especially in Hollywood. And Reagan was staunchly anti-communist. And when you go back and read, and I've been doing a lot of reading of Reagan lately, but when you go back into that time period, for Ronald Reagan, he literally led the charge. And I think Reagan understood that even, you know, the dangers of communism was how subtle it was being introduced into the nation's psyche. And it was being done through films, through TV programs. And that was one of the reasons why he came to fame, is because he was rooting out the propagandist that had infiltrated a lot of the Hollywood studios. William, got to leave it there, but I'm with you. Love Ronald Reagan. By the way, Reagan's a big part of my new book coming out, Twilight's Last Gleaming. And again, I would encourage you, go now, pre-order a copy, and you will get it on March 19th when it will finally be in bookstores. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. President's Day. Did you realize this is a fascinating story about George Washington. But after he left the presidency, I guess it drove him not to drink, but to start manufacturing booze. That's right. According to historyfacts.com, George Washington, after he left the White House, went back to Mount Vernon, and the guy who ran his farm there, the farm manager, actually convinced him to open up a whiskey distillery. And it turned out to be a pretty highly profitable business venture for Washington. I guess politics will drive you to drink. So anyway, he was selling or producing about 11,000 gallons of booze every year, worth about $185,000 in today's numbers. So there you go. Other Virginia-based distilleries were only producing about 650 gallons. The Mount Vernon Distillery was known for its cinnamon whiskey as well as apple and peach brandy. So there you go. Instead of putting it into a bottle, they just rolled the barrel down. They had a wooden barrel, and that's how they made the cash. All right, there you go. By the way, we do have a few trivia questions. And winners will receive a copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Grace Baker has done a fine job of adding a President's Day trivia to the table. So here we go. We need to know which U.S. president went by the nickname Dutch. Who was that president who went by the nickname Dutch? If you know the answer, give us a call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Over at ToddStarnes.com, we have a fascinating story. It is a story that, quite frankly, I didn't believe at first, but our good friends over at Campus Reform got the story right. It turns out that the University of New Mexico has launched a fat studies program.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of fat bottom girls, and they're letting it all hang out there at the University of New Mexico. So they have launched a fat studies program, and the goal is to combat what they call anti-fatness. According to the syllabus, the course will consider the structural forces that construct fatness as problematic, as diseased, gross, dirty, lazy, gluttonous. And wait a second. The very definition of gluttony is you're fat. I wouldn't say you're diseased, but your arteries might be. Come on. They say these are all negative characteristics. Yes, they are, which is why you shouldn't be fat. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I love barbecue. Cut me some slack. Students are also going to learn how to create plus-sized outfits. So it's like a sewing class? I'm not making this up. So anyway, I don't know. What are they going to be doing? Making a lot of 5X t-shirts? Is that what they're going to do? Are they going to start making the dresses out of king-size bed sheets? MyPillow supersized? I don't know if they make that much Giza, right? That's a lot of bed sheets right there. The syllabus says if you yourself live in a fat body, try to think about how not only how accessible the space is for you, but also how accessible it may be for a fat person that is larger than you, a fat person that has less mobility than you do. So their argument is that, for example, they're saying that obesity intersects with oppression. So if let's just say that you're going down to Applebee's, and they want to put you in a booth, and you're not able to squeeze into that booth. And if you do, you've got like a big blob of fat that's just like, I don't know, pouring onto the table, right? You have to like lift it up and then hoist it up on the table. They're saying that is a form of oppression. Yes, but it's also a form of oppression for the poor table and the seat. Jeez, Lou. So they're also saying, so this applies especially to the airline industry, and that if your fat blobs, if they like fold over onto the passenger next to you, that too is a sign of oppression. Yes, it is for the skinny person sitting right next to you. You tub of lard? I'm just saying. So anyway, this is like a real deal. Professors are also going to teach students about the fat liberationist movement, which I can't even imagine what that is. The problem is, why we haven't heard of these people, Dylan? It's because they can't march, right? They're too fat. I mean, they take a few steps and then they're out of breath and, you know, they got to, scarf down a cheeseburger. Something tells me they don't like Jenny Craig. I don't know what it is, but something tells me Jenny Craig would not be welcome in this group. So anyway, this is going to be a 4-credit class, and this is all part of a movement nationwide to accept obesity as being normal. That's what they want you to believe, that being obese is normal. And again, I don't know much about this particular world except, I'm trying to lose weight. I take Calitrin. I walk and I try to exercise. But I don't, it's not that you want to be fat, right? You just like good food. But this is a whole different weird world. And it just seems to me if you want to go through fat liberation, what you do is loosen your belt and stop eating the bucket of ho-hos. You know, maybe instead of, like, I don't know, eating a 12-piece family meal for yourself, just maybe go down to downsize to, like, a 2-piece extra crispy. That being said, if I'm a cardiologist, guess what I'm doing right now? I am relocating to Albuquerque, New Mexico, because they're about to have an uptick in clogged arteries, heart attacks, and, of course, the diabetes. You got to watch out for the diabetes. It's going to get you all the time. All right, let's go to the phones here. Tina in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station. Tina, how are you today?
Todd, I'm doing great. Doing just great.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Tina. Wonderful. All right, here's the question. We need to know which U.S. president went by the nickname Dutch. Can you name the president?
I can. It was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, Tina, that's right. Come on down. You just won yourself a copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to get it. So, I'll be so glad.
So it turns out that Ronald Reagan, when he was a little baby, you know, he was a little porker, that one. You know, he grew out of the baby fat, but his father made a comment at the time that said he looked like a fat little Dutchman. And that's how he got the nickname.
I never knew where it came from, but I knew he was called Dutch.
And then to reinforce it, he had a little Dutch boy haircut. You know the type of haircut there, with the bangs. And that was very popular back in the day. So there you go.
Well, thank you for the trivia information.
Well, Tina, thank you for listening to our flagship radio station in Memphis. And we're going to put you on hold. And the lovely Lydia is going to get all of your info. So there you go. And folks, hang tight. We're gonna throw out some other trivia questions later on through the program. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Coming up, our good buddy Charles Thorngren is going to drop by Legacy Precious Metals and have some important info to share with you. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Big Fanny Willis was in church yesterday, the embattled district attorney. She was asked to preach a sermon. She should have been asked to repent. My goodness. Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on that. But the church gave her an award and then allowed her to preach. Woo, mercy. All right, there you go. You know, it's going to be fascinating to watch how all of this plays out, but I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that Donald Trump, time after time after time, continues to be exonerated. And the ruling late Friday will be overturned. It's obscene what they're doing to this man. But they want to destroy Donald Trump, and they want to do it to teach all of you a lesson. Don't mess with the deep state. That's why we need Donald Trump. He's a fighter. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. There is a lot going on in the world of gold and silver, and folks, there's only one company that I trust when it comes to gold and silver, and that's our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, longtime supporters of the Todd Stearns radio program. And I would encourage you to go and check out their website, legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. As soon as you get to the website, you're going to see Newt Gingrich, Speaker Newt, smiling at you. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great. I hope you're doing as good as well, Todd. It's been a little bit, but yeah, here we are.
Charles, we've been following a lot of developments in the news regarding gold and silver. There's a CNBC story that came out just recently, and they're predicting that gold would hit, $2,200 an ounce, and silver is looking good as well in 2024. Any truth to these rumors?
Absolutely. I think when you look at the driving factors, it just makes sense. And you know, when you see those CNBC numbers, know that they're talking about the average price. So that means that with us sitting here just a little above $2,000 an ounce on gold, we're going to have to get closer to the $2,350 to average that $2,200 an ounce this year. So that's an important thing to know.
What about silver?
Silver is a great buy. If you have the space, get as much silver as you possibly can. Silver used to trade 30 to 1 on a gold to silver ratio. We're closer to 96 to 1 right now. It makes sense for people to get as much silver as possible. It is going to be the shining star in people's portfolio for years to come.
Charles Thorngren with Legacy Precious Metals on the line today. Charles, there's also been rumors that the Federal Reserve may be and may start to cut interest rates sometime this year. What can you tell us about that, and how is that going to help or hurt the performance of gold?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and what a dilemma. We have, as we saw last month's numbers, we have inflation back up again. So in that light, when the Fed tries to fight inflation, they typically raise the interest rate. But here's the quandary. The economy's not doing well. We are slipping into a recession. And you can see that by looking at the companies that are beginning to lay off people. The layoffs are mounting. We're seeing more and more people. And they start in the middle management, and then they work their way down. So the way you fight a recession is to lower the interest rates. They're speaking about that now for two reasons. The stock market loves it when the interest rate comes down, right? But the economy is in trouble. So what is going to be the worst situation? That's what the Fed's left with. Do we fight the recession and allow inflation to go higher? Or do we fight inflation, the true enemy, and allow the recession to go longer? It's a conundrum. And there's no good answer. I wish there were. But right now, it's a no-win situation. So they will lower the interest rates, but it's not going to be soon. It's going to probably be after the summer. And by then, the recession will have already taken hold. Unfortunately, it looks like a Venezuela situation. No jobs and high inflation. And this is what happens when you rapidly print money and don't do your job. As we called out in the beginning of this fiasco, when you and I were talking about it, Todd, how the Federal Reserve kept saying that inflation was transitory. And here we are years in, still with the inflation.
Charles, let's talk about the future, because I know that your clients have been buying a lot of gold and a lot of silver. They're getting nervous. You know, the stock market, they're concerned, is going to take a plunge. Where do you stand on that, and what types of investments are you recommending for somebody looking for a safety net and looking for that stability?
Right, and that is the ultimate question of the day, isn't it? You got to have some precious metals. You got to be diversified. In everything that you have, be diversified. So in a normal time, I'm telling people you got to have some gold, you should have some real estate, and you should have some equities and bonds. Well, now the problem comes in, right? You got to have the gold, but real estate's not looking that good right now. Commercial real estate's in trouble. So that's not something we had yet. The equities markets are rather high. And with the recession coming, they're going to bleed back as well. So what do you do? Here's what you do. You make the flight to safety. You get the precious metals. You diversify there. And then you make sure that your portfolios you have outside of precious metals are in the safest things possible. Will they come down in value? Probably. But if you're a long-term holder, by moving to safety, even within the equities, and having that backstop of the precious metals, that's how you come out ahead. That's how the loss isn't so great, and that's what sets you up for the recovery. So the important thing, safety. And safety means safe stocks, safe bonds, precious metals.
And this is why it's so important and brilliant, because, again, you're diversifying. So if something, you know, if something does take a dip, then you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be covered, and all of your eggs are not in one basket. Let's talk about LegacyPMInvestments.com for just a moment, because you guys have a lot of great opportunities and things for people to see online. What is the first thing that you want people to know about the website and the portal?
Here's the important thing to know. Go there looking for answers. And if you don't find the ones you need, call us. We'll walk you through it. The most important thing that we can do as a company and a partner in your investment is be there to answer questions and help you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. An informed decision is always the best decision. We live in a world where people like to tell you everything can go up. Everything's going to be positive all the time. Those of us who live in the real world know that's not a reality. There are ups and downs. So when you get that information, you take those steps, you look at the website, you get that information, you prepare yourselves, you protect yourselves against the bumps in the road. That's why it's so important to start. Go to the website, get an understanding, but more importantly than that, call us and ask questions when you're not sure.
All right, and we got to leave it there. Again, folks, legacypminvestments.com. Go to the website, check out all of the great resources they have for you. And again, you mentioned, Charles mentioned the word partnership, right? So they are wonderful people to work with, and what a great team they've got in place at Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
Thank you, sir. Great to be here again.
All right. LegacyPMInvestments.com, everybody. Go check that out, LegacyPMInvestments.com. We've got a link to it on our live show blog as well. You can access it there. All right, hang tight, folks. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us. Following a couple of big stories, and, of course, the biggest and I think the most important right now is this trucker boycott of New York City, and it appears to certainly be a grassroots effort. But good on the truckers across America and MAGA world, and they're saying enough is enough. We're sick and tired of these leftists in these blue states, these blue cities, attacking President Trump, and they're doing something about it. So I say good for them. I want to bring into the conversation great American patriot. He represents Louisiana's 3rd Congressional District. He is a member of the House Oversight Committee, also an impeachment manager in the Mayorkas Senate trial. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Congressman Clay Higgins, good to have you back with us.
Good to be with you, my brother.
So, Congressman, I want to get your take on this. These reports, social media filled with videos of truckers saying, "That's it. There will be no more deliveries to New York City."
Yeah, I didn't see that coming, but I love it. I love it. That is that's the sound of freedom loving patriots saying we're about done with this leftist crap, man. And that incredibly arrogant, smug, smart ass looking gangster Judge Angeron from New York that we have had to endure ad nauseum for the last few months. Americans have watched that man just sneer at our president, and it made no secret of the fact that he had predetermined what his adjudication was going to be before the first argument was presented. He appears to be a total like sellout of a judge to the left. He looks like a guy that's been on the payroll of like the leftiest mafia in New York that is paid to hate men like Trump. And we've had to tolerate that dude for months. And I do believe that our Lord and Savior will take care of that fella in due course of time on his own. But I love to see truckers of America, the cowboys of America, truckers and bikers. You know, I'm a biker, and a bunch of these truckers are my friends. And I love to see when the muscle of the front edge, the point of the spear of American freedom stands up like truckers and says, we're just not delivering to New York anymore. I hope it catches on big and huge, because I'd like to cost New York $350 million a day, you know, over not being able to get their deliveries.
I love it. I love it. I'm with you. I think it's time to put it right back up in their face. And the reality is those people wouldn't know how to plant a butter bean or a crop of corn, and they're going to be hurting in a couple of weeks when those supermarket shelves start going dry.
Good, especially because the illegals that they brought in New York are going to be eating all the food first.
You know, speaking of the yeah, it's true. Speaking of the illegals, Congressman, there's a new report out. I know Senator Marsha Blackburn highlighting this earlier today, talking about the massive numbers of illegals that are now coming from China and the Middle East. What do you make of that?
It's been a growing demographic for the last about a year and a half. I've been watching it and getting some disturbing numbers from my informants on the pipeline. I have people all the way down into Colombia and Venezuela, Panama, the southern leg of the cartel pipeline that runs up through Central America from Venezuela, across Mexico, and then disperses across our southern border. That's the pipeline. Well, you can plug into it at any point, but if you're a paying customer, the drugs and human beings are trafficked north through that pipeline network that's run by the cartels. So, and it comes to our southern border and across into America, where for the past 3 years they've been being received with open arms by the Biden administration and Secretary Mayorkas, waved into America, delivered wherever they want to go at the expense of the American taxpayer, and it caused generational trauma to be brought upon our country. So I started getting some disturbing reports, Todd, about a year and a half ago of Chinese nationals. And the Mideast numbers didn't change that much, but the Chinese nationals did. And they seemed to be what they called with means. In other words, these were Chinese men with money. Like, they had money. They were not coming from a place of like escaping economic ruin or total abandonment of hope and then looking for a way to rebuild their life. No, these were young men coming that were well-funded and were not sure from whom, but, you know, your summary of that would be interesting to hear. I have my own. But these men started coming into the pipeline, and as they would cross the border, they would disappear. And a lot of them were going to work in these Chinese camps that where they were growing marijuana. But these illegal grows, as they're called, that's on American soil, run by Chinese criminal networks, and these young Chinese men were disappearing into those camps. And my understanding in the camp is that their cell phones were taken, all of that. These camps are in the middle of nowhere. They're basically like slave labor, illegal marijuana grows. But from there, the Chinese have began being delivered out across the country, deeper into Chinese criminal networks. To do what? I don't know. But it's a disturbing trend, yes, sir. I would guess we probably had 250,000 Chinese nationals dumped into our country in the last year and a half.
That's a pretty big size military force, if you ask me, Congressman.
It's bigger than the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
I mean, according to our Constitution, we have one army. That's the United States Army. The Marine Corps is called a corps because it's under 200,000 men. So you're talking about a force of Chinese, you know, young, like fighting age men that came here, what we refer to as of means, with money, that's bigger than our Marine Corps. Now, you can take that where you want, but to me, that's disturbing no matter what it means.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think, and again, when you look at how Hamas waged their initial attack, they didn't go after the big cities. They went after that those small farming communities. The only difference between what happened in Israel and what happened here is most of our American farming communities are armed to the teeth. So, but again, you have to wonder who they're going to target.
You are a smart man. So I didn't even bring this up. You open this box here. So let me delve into it a little bit. I was told that one of the theories about a year ago it was presented to me about what are we do? What are they doing with these Chinese nationals coming off of the grow farms? Like, why is China getting into the marijuana business? And it was posited to me that they're teaching these guys farming, that they're bringing them into from illegal into the country into a heavy cash business, selling marijuana from illegal grows in the middle of nowhere. But why is it a slave environment? Like, why are they taking these guys and basically imprisoning them into that illegal grow? And it was posited to me that they were teaching these guys agriculture, which would explain where those guys are going as they're dispersed across the country. And you brought it up that there's been historical models of moving, an opposing force into an unsuspecting sort of soft edge of the citizenry, which would be the agricultural rural areas.
Congressman, real quick before we let you go, of course, the other big story, and you're going to be front and center, is the impeachment of the Senate trial of Alejandro Mayorkas. So how does all of that play out, and when will the trial start? Can you give us any details?
Well, we'll know within the next 2 weeks, week and a half, when we bring the articles formally over to the Senate. That's the way it works. We'll impeachment managers, of which I'm one, will walk the articles over to the Senate when they're back in session. And then it's up to the Senate leadership, which is a Democrat controlled, is what they do with those articles. Because there's no constitutional mandate that they have an impeachment trial, because this is not an impeachment of a president. So they could select whether they just table it, which would require a vote, or move it to committee, which would be sort of a scaled-down version of a full traditional Senate impeachment trial, or schedule a full trial. And I'm hopeful that my Democrat and Republican colleagues in the Senate will embrace this moment in history where the American citizenry demands a trial whereby men like me can present the evidence in support of the articles of impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, and the Democrats can present their evidence in opposition to the articles, because that's what America needs to see.
All right. Well, Congressman, we got to leave it there. I know all of our great listeners down in Lafayette, KPEL, KROF, big fans of yours, and we appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yes, sir. It's great to be with you. God bless you, sir. America will be okay.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Congressman Clay Higgins, everybody, from the great state of Louisiana. And we're juggling a lot of big stories with the congressman. And I'm telling you, the border situation, you got to keep an eye on this. Keep in mind that in Israel, the general population not allowed, by and large, not allowed to own or acquire weapons. That is not the case here in America. So if these Chinese nationals, if these illegals are coming across, and all of them are military-aged young men, if in fact they are coming across, I'm telling you that I think at least the southern states, the Midwest, will be able to take care of ourselves. Big cities, I think it's a whole different story. But if they try something in these smaller towns and communities, you're going to have a lot of dead terrorists on your hands. All right, got to take a break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, during the break, want to encourage you to go and check out our friends over at Newsmax. They've been running a poll They want to know who should President Trump pick as his vice president. Now, you can vote in the poll. All you have to do is text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP, S-K-I-P, to 39747, and you'll be able to vote in their poll. Remember, President Trump watches Newsmax, and so he's going to want to see your opinion on this. So let your voice be heard right now by texting SKIP to 39747. We'll be right back. I would be curious. Why do you think all the Chinese dudes are coming over to America? Why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, time for another President's Day trivia question. Which U.S. president's favorite slogan was "Speak softly and carry a big stick"? Who used to say that? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The American president who said "speak softly and carry a big stick." No, it was not Donald Trump, Dylan. Good guess, though. This story coming from Kipps Academy in Massachusetts. Three young girls were injured during a basketball game. They were injured by a competitor on the other side. The team they were playing had basically a giant boy on the team. He's a big one. And this boy identifies as a girl. We have video of the young man knocking one of the girls to the court. She was injured. The game ended up having to be called because so many girls were getting hurt. It's really fascinating here, folks. You've got men beating up girls, and now this is being celebrated by the left. This is what inclusivity looks like. Honestly, this is what abuse looks like. I'm just telling you, this is not good. This is absolutely not good. But this is the reality of where we are in America right now, where anything goes with the sex and gender crowd. And I'm telling you, it is falling apart. Society right now is in a free fall. And that is not necessarily a bad thing, because maybe we all just need to go through this so people will wake up and understand, holy cow, we now live in a society where it's okay for a man to slap around a woman. I mean, do you really believe that you would be living in a day and age where it would be permissible for a man to smack around a girl? I mean, this is where we are right now. It's very unfortunate, but it's criminal. What they should have done is they should have had law enforcement walk onto the basketball court and put this guy in handcuffs. I don't care who you are. You don't do that to a girl. By the way, and I know this is old-fashioned, but I don't think boys ought to be wrestling girls on the wrestling team, on the wrestling mat. I don't think it's appropriate. I'm just saying, folks, we've got to start having these conversations. Society has unraveled, and now it's time for us, the great listeners of this program, to put it back together again. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Doug in North Carolina, WSIC. Doug, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you,
Kyle? All right, Doug, let's get to this question. We don't have a lot of time, Doug. We need to know the president who once said, and famously said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick."
Well, it's got to be Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's right. Teddy Roosevelt, Doug, congratulations. We just won you a copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. You know, it's interesting. That's how Teddy Roosevelt described his foreign policy. You speak softly, and when necessary, you whack somebody with your big stick.
Yeah.
It worked. Great. It was quite effective back in the day. All right, Doug, hang tight. We're going to get your intel and info, and we appreciate you listening to the program. All right, hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. Real quick, I want to get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Georgia. Bald Mountain Betty is on the line, listening to us on our great affiliate, WDUN. I'm loving the nicknames, folks. I'm loving the nicknames. Bald Mountain Betty, how are you today?
I am great, Todd. And thank you for taking my call, even though I didn't get to answer the question.
Well, I'm going to try to help you win another prize, Bald Mountain Betty. Is that okay?
That's okay. I don't need a prize. Talking to you is prize enough. But
I'm blushing.
I'm assuming that I had the correct answer, Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, Betty, you certainly did. Bald Mountain Betty, you're a winner, even though you don't want to be a winner.
Well, I want you to know that I grew up thinking that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was very close to sitting next to God, because my parents accredited him with getting them out of the doldrums of the Depression. And that was before I was born. I was one of those surprise children, and I did come along after the Depression. But Roosevelt, that name has always been with me, because I thought the first time that I voted Republican that I probably was going to be struck dead. That's how ingrained I had been with the thought that only a Democrat could, you know, do anything for us.
Well, Betty, we're going to have to leave it there, but I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again, and hope to see you when we come down to Gainesville for the big book signing later on this year. Bald Mountain Betty. So I love it. Our Gainesville, Georgia listeners love the nicknames. And so if you call in and you have a nickname, we will use your nickname like Bald Mountain Betty did. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to the president of Wall Builders, wallbuilders.com, Tim Barton. Tim, do you have like a nickname?
Nothing as cool as Bald Mountain Betty, that's for sure.
I love it. We got to get you a nickname, Tim. We got to get you a nickname. We'll work on it.
We'll work on it. I'll come up with something.
So it's President's Day, and one of our astute listeners sent me a note. They said, Todd, we celebrate one holiday in the month of June for the entire month, but we only get one day for the presidents. It's a fair observation.
It is, and probably there are many presidents who deserve far greater praise than the celebration, arguably, for the entire month of June. And certainly, if you look at even as Betty mentioned, you know, FDR and thinking, man, he did some good things. One of the things I think that is lost in modern culture is the humanity of so many of these presidents and leaders, recognizing, especially for some of the earlier presidents, some of their contributions, where I would argue, I think FDR did so many detrimental things for the nation, but it's unquestionable that during the Depression era, had it not been for some of FDR's policies with the soup kitchens and some of the work they did to keep people alive, there could have been a lot more death. So there's no doubt he did some good things. But as we look at presidents, generally going back to George Washington, and then because Lincoln's birthday was also around that same time, they said, hey, we're going to combine these things together. President's Day, we're going to celebrate them. And there's definitely some great American presidents worth celebrating.
Yeah, well, it is. And it's interesting. There's a new survey that's out, and no surprise here. They named the worst president of all time Donald J. Trump. Not too sure you can go to that. You can make that judgment call right now. I would say he is, in fact, one of our best presidents.
Yes. When you consider, you mean the guy that helped strengthen the American economy, the guy that helped bring peace to the Middle East. I mean, the things that had not been done, people weren't sure could be done. And the guy who does that, as compared to maybe like a Woodrow Wilson, the guy who under his leadership, you have the rebirth of the KKK, and under his leadership, we're creating new agencies and new taxes. And I mean, you start going through some of the lists of what these presidents have done, and the fact we're coming up with Donald Trump, it really is a reflection only that there is a very emotionally strong motive for people to dislike Trump, because if you look at his policies and what he actually did and what he accomplished, he has a very impressive record, arguably making him one of the best presidents in American history, certainly nowhere near the worst, and definitely not the worst president in American history.
Tim Barton from Wall Builders, wallbuilders.com. I've got so many of their great books and resources, and you should have them in your library, too. Tim, I know you guys have a brand new book out today. It's called The American Story, Building the Republic. What's the book about?
Well, in honor of President's Day, we are going through the first seven presidents, and this is the second book in our installment of The American Story. The first one was The American Story, The Beginnings, and it's really how America becomes America, from Christopher Columbus all the way through the Revolution and getting a Constitution. Well, this one picks up kind of where that one leaves off and starts with George Washington and goes from Washington through the first seven, which ends with Andrew Jackson. And what we try to highlight for people is most Americans have enjoyed more freedom, stability, prosperity than any people in the history of the world. And the reason really is because of the foundation, the examples set by people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Quincy, James Madison, some incredible leaders. And we wanted to reintroduce people to those stories. And as even we look at America today and we see some of the brokenness in America and people are identifying the problems, you can't fix something if you don't know how it's supposed to work and how it's supposed to function in the first place. And so this is kind of going back and saying, hey, let's go look at this again. What were positive leaders? What did they look like? What were their character traits? And as we learn the stories of these guys, we see some of the good, the bad, the ugly. We see they weren't perfect. But where, again, a lot of people probably would recognize these names, they don't know the stories. And we want to reintroduce people to some of the greatest leaders our nation has ever known. And then there's a couple of them that were not great presidents, had a lot of really bad policies and decisions. And then we contrast that with some of where we are in culture today, where Washington, for example, gave amazing advice when he left. And he said, hey, for all future presidents, Americans, don't get caught up in foreign entanglement. And I'm looking now going, well, we have, you know, Russia and Ukraine happening. And Washington literally said, hey, watch out for that because it can be a devastation to America. Washington said that watch out for party politics where people would prioritize party over principle. And we're looking now going, well, yeah, we have sides saying they care more about their side winning than maybe what's actually true, what's actually right. And you start going through the advice he gave and we recognize if we could just go back and follow the advice of George Washington, if we could restore the moral foundation of America, restore the Constitution, that we could turn this nation around. And that's a lot of the challenge that we give. Wallbuilders.com is the best place to go for people to find that. But if people want to know more about the foundation of our nation, of some of these incredible heroes of our nation, and then get some really good advice from our early presidents, the book is The American Story, Building the Republic.
Fantastic. And again, that book is available at wallbuilders.com. And Tim, one of the things we've encouraged our audience to do is take personal responsibility for teaching their kids and grandkids about the founding of the country. And that's where you guys have so many great resources. And so, folks, if you're looking for good, solid information about the history of America, go to Wall Builders and check it out.
Oh, Todd, it's so gracious of you to say that. We really appreciate it. In this book, just as an example, there's more than 1,000 footnotes in the book. You know, we live in an era and time when people aren't sure who they can trust anymore. And we go the opposite direction. We encourage people, please don't trust us on this. Don't just take our word. We will footnote exactly where this quote came from. We'll show you the letter. We'll show you the document, the proclamation, wherever it was, because we know if people actually knew history, if they would rediscover their history, they would recognize what the real foundation of this nation was, and then we would be able to restore it. So we footnote everything. We actually have more than 100,000 documents from American history, from really early American foundation period. We have letters and journals from George Washington and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and all these guys we write about. We want people to rediscover that. Don't take our word for it. We're going to footnote it, help you find it. And we really do want parents and grandparents to be able to save their kids from this nonsense. And in saving their kids, ultimately saving America as well.
Great stuff. All right, Tim, always appreciate having you on the show. Congratulations on the new book. Folks, get yourself a copy at wallbuilders.com. It's called The American Story, Building the Republic. That book is out today. All right, Tim, appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thanks so much, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Good guy right there. And seriously, folks, because I'll get the emails, right? All right, well, Starge, you said we got to do this, but where do we go to find good resources that we can trust? Wallbuilders.com, that's the place. By the way, got to give a shout-out to our staff over at KWAM in Memphis. Black History Month. Every single time, every single radio station in the nation, they salute people like, I don't know, MLK, Oprah, you know, LeBron, Malcolm X. It's just like the same people year after year. So we decided to throw a twist in it, and our team actually went out and researched, and it was Memphis-centric, but I thought this was fascinating. They actually celebrated, and they had these little one-minute vignettes celebrating black conservatives throughout history. And I think this is amazing because you never hear these stories. And what's really amazing, every single one of the black conservatives going all the way back to the Civil War era up until the 1960s happened to be Republicans, conservative Republicans. There was a guy in Memphis by the name of Robert Reed Church. He was the first black millionaire in America. He built his real estate empire after the yellow fever epidemics. He founded the very first black-owned bank, and he was known for extending credit to black families so they could buy homes and develop businesses. And as a result of that, Memphis had a very thriving black Republican community back in the day. Mr. Church was also a Republican, and in 1900, he was actually elected as a delegate to William McKinley to the Republican National Convention. This is fascinating. We're talking about in the 1900s here. By the way, the city almost went bankrupt. It was Mr. Church, a black Republican, bought the first $1,000 municipal bond, kept the city from going belly up. So anyway, all that to say, that there is this great history that we know nothing about because there are people that do not want you to know about that history. I was talking to a good friend. His name is Pastor Frederick Tappan, and he is very involved in Republican politics. Pastors a great church in Whitehaven, which is a part of Memphis that has a very strong black middle class. And Pastor Fred was telling me, he said, you know, I go in, I talk to students, and they know nothing about this history. Nothing at all. Which is, again, another reason for you to listen to talk radio. And get your kids to listen. They might learn something. But again, I think it's fascinating. The first black millionaire in America, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we've got time for another trivia question. Oh, this is a good one. Which founding father and future president wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence? Which founding father wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence? Give us a call if you know the answer, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm telling you, these are some tough questions that Grace Baker came up with. So well done you, Grace Baker. All right. Anyway, again, we are following a couple of breaking news stories and just want to pass this along to you. But there has apparently been some attacks on U.S. ships over in the Middle East. This news breaking, AFP reporting at least two ships were apparently hit. We have no word on injuries or whether or not, we have no second confirmation of that. This is just a reporting of AFP. So we will keep you updated. Oh, Charlemagne the God, the popular radio host, says he's been getting some blowback from the White House. Cut number four.
Well, do you get blowback from the White House? Because you, even now in this conversation, you're very tough on Biden. So when you say something critical, do you hear from him?
Yeah, and I think that's the stupidest shit ever. Because I think that... I'm sorry. I forgot.
But we can bleep that out.
Yeah. Because I feel like you should be able to criticize whoever your elected official is, right? Yeah. And even if I do criticize them, I'm criticizing them because of what I see coming up in November. I see what we're facing. So what I'm saying to them is, where is the sense of urgency? You can't keep saying that there's a threat to democracy, and democracy as we know it is going to be gone, but not act like it. And the other problem is, they've always done this with every single Republican candidate. Since I've been alive, whoever the Republican presidential candidate has been, they've demonized. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's John McCain. It doesn't matter if it was, you know, Mitt Romney. It doesn't matter who it is. They will demonize the Republican candidate. And now that there's an actual legitimate threat right there in our faces, they're like the party who cried wolf. Nobody believes them.
That's true. It's a fair point that he brings up. And I think more and more people are starting to wake up and they're realizing, oh, wait a second. They're saying that Donald Trump is that threat to democracy. Isn't that what they said about John McCain? Isn't that what they said about Mitt Romney? Isn't that what they said about George W. Bush? Wait a second. Wait a second. What's going on here? There you go. I'm telling you, folks are beginning to wake up, and that's a big deal. All right. Coming up tomorrow, we've got our good friend Jeff Stein, who's going to be filling in, heading to Nashville. By the way, President Trump is going to be speaking to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Ought to be a lot of fun up there. We're going to stay in touch, and I will be phoning in every day to the show. But just because of the nature, we had to do this and get out there. I rarely take vacation days, so we're using the vacation days to go to Nashville and do a lot of these interviews that'll be coming out in the days leading up to the book launch. So just bear with us as we're up in Nashville. I know we have interviews already set up with Sebastian Gorka, Eric Metaxas, our good friends of the Washington Times. And so just a lot happening, and a lot of excitement is building around this new book and the message. And someone was telling me the other day, you know, one of the things that made Rush Limbaugh was he was a very hopeful, optimistic person. And I think this is going to come across in this book that I have written, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Ultimately, we have to answer that question as American citizens. And that's the great thing about this country, right? The great thing is that we get to decide. We can either save the country or we can choose not to, but that decision is ours. And I do believe at the end of the day that we, the people, will make that decision. So anyway, go check out the book at Amazon, wherever you buy your books, pre-order a copy. We're going to be doing a big national book tour. We're going to be telling you more about that in the coming days. And in the meantime, you get out there and have a great day. Be good, America.